أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره وامتداله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين my brothers and sisters in Islam إيمان and إحسان in this wonderful group إرشاد الأمة I greet you by saying السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته today is 22nd of Sha'ban 1441 after Hijra which is equivalent to 16th of April 2020 our lesson on fiqh al-sharia with the book of Mukhtasar al-Akhdari fi al-ibadati and fiqh Imam al-Maliki will continue inshallah from our previous lessons we have Malam has explained to us what is expected of us as a matured person he went ahead to talk on personality by personality I mean the distinctive behavior pattern of thinking and motives or emotion that characterize you how you should be characterized he described that to us he went ahead to tell us that we should not perform any act without knowing the legal action of that legal action on that particular action he continued to tell us that in case we don't know we should ask scholars and he said we should try as much as possible to emulate the people that are following the sunnah of prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it is only by that you will be saved and also he continued to tell us that we should the people we should follow should be those people that are not following their selfish desire and they are those that speaks against following or condemn against following the way of shaitan and he prayed that Allah should guide us and make us follow the sunnah of our savior our intercessor our master prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam today inshallah we continue as we said earlier that we are talking about fiqh sharia the understanding of the obligatory acts that's fiqh sharia so now we are going gradually into the fiqh of obligations as he say ka akami salati like the knowledge of salah so now we are going to it this is fasl fi tahara chapter that will talk on purification or topic on purification he started by saying at taharatu ismani purification is of two types it is divided into two taharatu hadasin purification from ritual impurity wa taharatu khabasin and purification from impure substance purification taharatu hadasin it is internal impurity by that we mean or scholars mean that thing that comes out from your body that will make you to be impure like urination like defecating like ejaculating that is release of sperm like menstrual blood in case of the woman so these are things that comes out internally from you as a person and make you to be impure they impair with your purity so that is hadas Then the haratu khabas. Khabas are things that comes or that come from external source, from something, from external environment and touches you. Maybe the physis of someone or a child or somebody that touches your clothes or touches your body or touches your place of ablution or your carpets in which you perform your salawit. So that are things that touches you and make you or make your clothes or make your place to be impure. So these are the two things that require purification. So he continued by saying, wala yasihu jami', the two, that is the hadas and the khabas, the ritual impurity and the impure substance, the two purification are not accomplished. Wala yasihu, they are not accomplished. Illa bil ma'i tahir, except with a pure water, al mutahir, a clean water. That is to say, an immaculate water. Water that is considered immaculate. That is a water that is pure and clean. Something can be clean but is not pure. As the word implies, for something to be pure, it means it must be free and it must be wholesome. It does not contain anything else. So it must be something that does not contain any other thing. It's wholesome, it's complete. So, as I was saying, to be clean, it means to be free from death, free from pollutants. That is clean. So something might be impure, but it's clean. You understand? It might be impure. That is, it is mixed with something, but it is pure. We'll talk about that later, inshallah. We continue from the book. He said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي. So now he wants to talk about the water, that is, he said, an immaculate water. Which water is called immaculate water? هو الذي, it is that water, لم يتغير لونه, whose color has not changed, which color has not been changed, أو طعمه, or it tastes, أو رائحته, or its odor. بما يفارقه غالبا, with that which will defeat it, something that will overcome it. That's مايفارقه غالبا, something that will overcome that water or defeat it. So by saying, as we all know that water has three features, it is defined as water is a solution which is colorless, odorless, and tasteless. So these three features of water are, if water has it, is called an immaculate water, a pure and clean water. And those things that he said, with things that will defeat it, he said kazaiti, like oil. When a water is mixed with oil, so it will defeat it, because it will be clearly seen, because even the density of water, we know, is far different from that of oil. So the oil will be suspended on the surface of the water. Was samani, and fat or butter. Saman is a solid form of oil. That is a fat or a butter, a solid form of oil. What desami, and broth. That is a soup. By broth we mean a liquid form of water in which meats or fish or other food substances are being boiled inside. That's dasam. Dasam. Wal wazakhi, and death or filth. Was sabuni, and soap. That's a soapy water. Then wala ba'asa bit turab. So he said, wala ba'asa bit turab. Bit turab. There is no harm with soil. When a water is mixed with the soil, with a soil, there is no harm. Walham ati, or with sodium chloride, that is salt, or sabihati, or potassium. Wal ajuri, or a brick, that is that red or clay, yes, clay, wanahwihi, and so on. Here there is two things we can derive from this explanation. He said that anything that will defeat water, he mentioned things like oil, like fat, like soup, like dirt, like soapy water and other things. But he said there is no problem, there is no harm if it is being mixed with soil or salt or potassium. Why is that? Because these are things that are gotten also from soil. That is, if the table water, table is the source, is the underground surface of water, where underground surface of soil in which water gush out, that is the table water. So if the table water, the table of the water, it is from a stone that is salty, or stone that is testing potassium, or it is brick or clay, so definitely those features of water will change. The water, the color of the water might look blackish because of the potassium or the stone, or it might look reddish because of the brick or clay, or it might taste salty. So in that case, it is not harm, there is no harm with that. But for you to have your pure water, then fresh salts from your kitchen and add to that water, then you tell me that there is no harm with that. No, that violates vitiates the water. That water is impaired. Or you should just fetch sand and pour inside water, just like that. So that one also, because that particular water is not from the source. But if it is mixed naturally from the source, there is no harm with that. So I hope you understand this, and this is where the fiqh comes. We need critical thinking. It's not the way you are seeing it. It might change color, it might change taste, you understand, those features. But because it is natural and it is from the source, it is considered healthy for purification. But just like that, to fetch a water and you put it in your nose, that's why when we come to wudu, we'll talk about that. That's why it is being put from the beginning of ablution. You first put the water in your mouth, you understand, to consider the taste. Does the taste change? Then take it to your nose. Does the smell change? Then from your eyes, you are seeing it, whether the color has changed or not. So I hope we will understand this. Well, later there is some little explanation at the beginning or at the ending, sorry, that will come. Let's move quickly to the next subtopic. First loon, this topic is talking about, is that hygienetic najasati, when an impurity is viewed, ta hygiena is viewed, is visible, ghasli mahalliha, you should wash the place in which you sight that particular impurity. For instance, you view it on your clothes or on your body, so that it is only that particular place that you wash, you understand, whether it's on the sleeve of your shirt or on the sleeve of your trousers, you understand, or at the back of your shirts, or anywhere in your place. So that particular place is being viewed, is specific. So only that place in which that particular impurity touches, whether it is feces, whether it is urine, whether it is blood, whether it is anything, you understand, just wash that particular place. For in tabassat, if it is hidden, that is tabassat. Tabassat, if it is hidden, that is, it is not specific, you are sure that an impurity, where is that clothes that boy urinate on. You pick the clues, but you cannot specify, you cannot identify specifically the point where the urine touches. So if it is that, ghusl sabakulu, you should wash the whole clothes in order not to be doubt, or in order not to wash a place that is not the place. So wash the whole clothes in order to be safe. وَمَنْ شَكَّ فِي إِصَابَةِ النَّجَاسَةِ, whoever doubts the presence of impurity on his clothes, نَضَخَ, he should spread water. What this means is that Shakka, you are doubting whether your cloth touches impurity, that is, whether it touches impurity. Like, for instance, someone chew or pour urine, for instance, so it splashes, so you doubt whether it touches you or not. You understand? So in that case, what you are to do is to spray water on the clothes. It's okay, you don't have to wash it off. Or something touches you, you understand, something touches you, but you did not see anything and you are doubting, so just spray water. Wa in asabahu shay'un shakka fi najasatihi, if something touches you, shakka fi najasatihi, and you doubt whether it is impurity, you don't know what touches you, but you doubt whether it is impurity or is najasa, fala nadakha alayhi, there is no spraying of water on you. Because if it is, what happened is that you are doubting that thing that touches me, you don't even know what it is. You are doubting whether it's impure. So usually if it is impure, you see it clearly and you can smell it or you can see it. So you are unable to, so that one is clear. So don't even put yourself into any doubt. You should just know that there is no spraying of water. You don't have to wash, you don't have to even spray water. The reason is that if it is impurity, you will see it or either you can smell it, but for you not to smell it and for you not to know what touches you, so it is okay. Fala shay'a alayhi, there is no spraying of water on you. Wa man tazakkara an-najasati, whoever remembers najasa or impurity, you remember, you are praying, sorry, wa huwa fi salati, yes, while he is praying, he remembers that this cloth I'm wearing is that cloth that is impure. You understand, there is feces on it that was not washed, or there is blood or something like that. How will he do? But he should terminate the salah immediately. You should terminate that salah, illa an yakhafa khuruj alwaqt, except if you fear the running out of time. You doubt that the time that remains for that particular salah is just little. So if you terminate that salah, if you are to go and wash it and come back to that salah, you do it out of the time. So in that case, since there is a darur, there is a condition, so you continue your salah. Wa man salla biha nasiyan, whoever prays with impurity unknowingly, nasiyan, wa tadhakkara ba'da salami, and he remembers after he has say his salam, he has finished his prayer, a'ada fil waqti, he should repeat the salah on time. He should say the salah on time. So this is where we stop. But before we go, I want to expatiate more on the things we talked about today. First, he talked about tahara, and he said at tahara to ismani. Usually this tahara, it just means cleansing. Yes, lugatan, it just means cleansing. But istilahan, technically it is izalatun najasati, it is the washing away of or cleaning of impurity, najasa. And this is not accomplished with anything, but that as ulama explained, except wala yasuhu illa bima. You can't clean it, even though it is clean, even if it with something else, except with water. That's why there is some argument between scholars. Now the development we are in, there are some machine that doesn't use water. Some they use UV lights, and some they use some rays, you understand, to clean a particular something. So how is that seen? So there is two saying of scholars on that particular things, but mutlakan, generally, it is with water that cleansing is considered valid, only with water, and that water must be tahiril mutahir. And this was gotten from even from the Quran. Allah says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin." Allah loves those that repents, often repents to Him, and those that are clean. Wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin, he likes cleansing. And He instructs Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Mudassir, "Wa thiyabaka fatahhir," your clothes, you should clean your clothes. You should clean your clothes. Or in kuntum junuban fattaharu, and if you are in a measure of great impurity, you should take ritual baths. That is fattaharu. You should take ritual baths. This measure state of impurity, it is when you release sperm. Yes, when you release sperm or semen. So, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, miftahu salati at-tuhur. At-tuhur miftahu salah. The key to salah is purification. La tuqabbalu salati bighayri tuhurin. Salah is not accepted except with purification. So, these two, he said, these two purification is divided into two. Al-hadas, the one that is not accomplished except with water. Sorry, both are not accomplished except with water. But hadas is something that comes out internally from you, that is from the orifices, from the urethra, or from the anus. Like feces that comes out from anus, that the defecate, or urine, or semen, or blood, for in case of menstruation for women. So those things that are hadas. Well, khabas are things that touches you externally. The feces or the defecate touches you. After it has comes out, then it touches you. So now it makes you to be, not just by washing that particular place that thing comes out, that is purification for you at that time. You have to wash that place it touches. You understand? Or while it is coming out, like you are urinating, you understand? You are urinating, but it is bouncing back and touching your clothes. So now it's making your clothes to be unclean. Or you are urinating and it touches your feet. You understand? Then after you finish urinating, you just wash the place in which the parts, that is the orifice where the urine comes out. Without washing that particular place is considered your ablution or any action you take at that time as invalid. So this act of purification, wallahi, we have to take it very serious, because most of the people, many of the worshippers, that is where they invalidate their or violate their salah, because they have to be followed. You have to do your purification correctly the way it is asked before performing wudu, before ablution. If your purification is not correct, then no matter how good your ablution is, it is not also correct. So also, if your ablution is not correct, your salah is not correct. So please, we should try and know this right, because there is wide explanation for this, but I want us to be taking it bit by bit. But in case of any question that will come up, it is welcome, and we'll try to, or we might forget to say something on it. Then also, water is also divided. Aksam Rimiyahi, it is a topic on its own, but he just in brief he told us that usually water are divided into three. There is pure water and there is clean water. Pure or impure water. Impure water, they are of two. Impure water, something, a water that is mixed with something clean. So that particular water is clean in on its own, but it cannot cleanse. You understand? You can that kind of clean water that is mixed with something clean, like zait, like oil. It is mixed with oil. Oil is a clean substance. So you can use it for domestic use, for cooking, for drinking or something. Or it is mixed with butter, or it is mixed with soup. Preparation of meal. You can use it to boil water or boil anything, but you can use it to clean najasa. You can use it for bathing, you can use it for ablution in that case. You understand? Then there is a water that is impure and it is mixed with dirt. So that is the kind of water that you cannot use for domestic use, neither you can use it for for ablution or for obligatory acts. Then there is a water that is clean. This clean water, it is pure water that is not mixed with anything. It is as it is. You understand? It is as it is. Nothing impure with it. So that you can use it for everything. So that is the water that is needed for purification. And something again that I want to talk lastly, if you identify a najasa clearly on your clothes, on your body, on the surface you want to pray, so what is expected of you is for you to wash that particular place, only that particular place. But if you are certain that impurity has touched your clothes or your body and you don't know exactly the place, usually for your body it will be very hard for you for something to touch you and you don't know the particular place. You understand? So if it is from in your body or in your clothes, sorry, and you are not very sure where, you just kept the clothes on a surface, then something touches it, or urine pour from someone, and definitely it has touches it. But unfortunately, before you cleanse it, the thing gets dry. Then when you wanted to wash it, you bring it up, but you cannot identify clearly where it is. So what is expected of you at that time is to wash the whole clothes in order not to be doubt, or wash where that is not the place of contact. That is it. But if something touches you and you don't know what that is, that thing is, you understand? Like for instance, you are just walking, then clay or mud touches you, then you don't know what that particular thing is. You look, you don't know what it is. So in that case, there is nothing for you. You don't even need to spray water or to do anything. You should just go. Because if it is najasa, you will smell it or you can see it clearly. So if it is nothing or something to just touch you and you look, you don't identify what exactly that thing is, you should just go on. Because it happens during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone or been to Yasarin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, I don't have except a single cloth. I have only a single cloth. Wa ana ahidu, and I am menstruating fihi, on it. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that do here dahurti fagsili faida dahurti fagsili mawdi adem. When the menstruation stops, you should just clean that particular place in which the blood touches. That's all what is expected of you. If you can identify specific where the blood touches should just clean. And also someone asked, that was Jabir. He said that someone comes to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks, أُسَلِّ فِي سَوْبِ الَّذِي آتِي فِيهِ أَحَدِي. I usually used to perform salah on a clothes which I met with my spouse. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نعم إِلَّا أَن تَرَى فِيهِ شَيْئًا فَتَكْسِلُهُ. Except if you see clearly something on it that needs to be washed. That is the sperm touches it, so then you need to wash. Although there are a lot of explanation, as I said earlier, usually then scholars are looking at the way and the way of life. Then a rich person is someone that has two clothes at that time, two clothes, that's a rich person. But now this is hard. So it's better for you to, but it's not haram. It's just what we should know as we are learning. We should know that it is not haram. So far, there is not any impurity that touches you. But now that we are in availability of resources, you see someone with 10 sets of clothes. So you should use a particular cloth for your sleep. So whatever touches you, you are going to remove that particular cloth and use another one separately. But if you use the cloth that you sleep or you even was you committed with your spouse or something like that, it's not haram or it's not harm on it. So this is where we stop. I know this is where questions should come up. So, and you only understand fiqh by asking questions. Because something, one time, one day, something has happened to you that you are not clear of. So what is the ruling of that particular case? That's why he set the foundation there that we should raise al-ulama, or we should be asking whatever we don't know. So please, concerning purification, because as this book is concerned, this is the only thing he has talked about purification. But you can get a lot of explanation concerning purification if you go to higher books. So if you have any question, you can forward it. We have our scholars, our learned people, our brothers and sisters that will attend to you. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru laha li wa lakum. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.